This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But don't forget, you can listen on the Odyssey app, and Odyssey Sports is giving listeners a chance to win an epic trip. It's a flyaway to Las Vegas for you and three friends, and $20,000 spending cash for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. All you got to do is download the Odyssey app for free, log in, and listen to 92.9 FM ESPN for a minimum of 1 hour each day for your daily entry. Five-night stay at the Circa Resort in downtown Las Vegas, plus $5,000 spending cash for you and three friends. Round-trip airfare, a fantastic way to start the new year. It's slam dunk in Las Vegas, brought to you by Odyssey Sports. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company is each and every Thursday on the program. Writes about college football, college basketball for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Cold day, sir.
So miserable. What's the temp there? It's like 13 here.
I'm reading 18, but that feels like it's got to be down around 8 or 9. I mean, it was a miracle, Jeffrey. I was griping to you earlier that the dog won't go outside. I got her to go outside. I mean, okay. So big win.
So that's big win. Things are turning around.
I don't know if we can say that yet. What is it? The groundhog? The groundhog was
Right.
We got misled and lied to a couple weeks ago where we had a few 50 degrees and sunny types of days there, and then now all of a sudden it's just – it's brutal, man. It's a good thing that basketball is like so important to me, because this time of year would be brutal otherwise.
Is it us getting older, or like, I feel like the last few years the winters have been brutal.
I just, you know, too old. We're too old to play in the snow, and our kids aren't old enough to play in the snow. And give it 4 or 5 years, and it might actually be worse, Jeffrey, because we'll have to be outside with.
Yeah, because I did not have to go. I saw like there were people like sledding down hills, and I was like, I didn't have to do any of that. But like, I was thinking in these terms, like, man, I just guess I did not realize how much my parents did not root for snow, because there's nothing. You're not quite there yet. But man, when you start doing the math of like daycare's closed because the city schools are closed or whatever, SES are closed, and then you drive into work and you realize like they couldn't go to school today, really?
Yeah. Well, what's the threshold for you guys at the station? Like, how bad would it have to be for y'all to say, we're calling off the dogs today, we're not going in?
So we have to have somebody to launch shows. what we have done, because as you're doing right now, the one good thing out of the pandemic was we realized, okay, you can do virtual shows. Like Zoom.
Yeah, but is it a good thing? Because here I am as a virtual exclusive employee of CBS. Nobody cares if it's snowing. A lot of my colleagues live in places where it snows all the time. It's like, man, back in the day, you actually got snow days. Like, you get snowed out of work, you get snowed out of school. Now it's like, you don't even get that anymore.
Yeah, but we were, that did give us the option of, because, like, basically it was like, hey, if you can't get to the studio, show doesn't run. And so either you're running national or you're trying to do, like, best of. Now, like, John yesterday did Zoom. Calkins and I were in. Calkins lives really close to the studio. I have yet to miss for snow. Yesterday got a little dicey.
That deserves applause right there. You are the MVP.
Yeah. I have an unbelievable fear of, I realize how hard it was to get this chair, and, like, I'm scared to death of giving it up. So there's always that aspect. And then there's also, like, with Calkins, it's like, if Calkins is going to be there, I've kind of got to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. He sets the tone, team captain, you know?
He really does. He sets it as a leader. So, I don't know. I'm with you. I'm just, like, I thought the whole thing about us living in the South is we never had to deal with this.
All right. We got to deal with it way too often nowadays, man. I can't wait to get out there with the golf. The good thing is, I went and got my golf clubs re-gripped on Monday because I'm like, I ain't going to be going to the range anytime soon.
That's getting ready for the season.
It is. You got to get out ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
You know, they got it done for me in like 30 minutes, too. That's the first time I've ever gone and had it done like right then and there.
Yeah,
and
normally it's like come back in like 2 days. Like, we'll see.
Right, but it's a great strategy for the golf shop because what do they do? Hey, just hang out here for 30 minutes.
Like, ooh.
What am I going to do in 30 minutes at a golf shop other than lighten my wallet, right? So, I mean, come on.
I didn't realize that I needed this gadget, but all of a sudden it's going to fix my putting stroke. Yeah,
I got some ridiculous groove cleaner.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah, I need a groove cleaner. Yeah, $15. Sure, why not? And shoot, what else did I get? I got some, I got a couple of new gloves.
Oh, yeah, so always.
Like, I walked out of there not just with new grips, but also $50 more in merch.
Yeah, because this is the time of the year where I'll buy the good golf gloves. Like, once it gets to the summer and I'm just, like, because I'm a sweaty boy, I just get the Costco, like, whatever, the three-pack.
Yeah, right. It's also funny. I start out the year playing Pro V1s, and then by mid-May, I'm rocking like Nike Chaos.
Like whatever you found. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about what we got coming up on the program. Grizzlies return to action tonight. They take on the Pacers. Early start, 6 p.m. for us, so it'll be 7 Eastern, because Indiana is one of those weird states that, like, half the year they're Central Time, half the year they're Eastern because of daylight savings, which I thought we were getting rid of, but I guess we didn't. But again, tonight, 6 p.m., Eric's going to join us here during the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on all of that. We're going to start with the Grizzlies and a couple of things that have developed over the last 24 to 48 hours. So we'll start with the Grizzlies. Eric's going to join us. We'll get into the list. Cobb and I will talk playoff during the list. Also, there's a couple of things that I want to discuss with Cobb about the Tigers' profile as it pertains to the tournament and kind of why they are where they are. So I want to discuss that. Also, we got spring games getting canceled left and right. I think I know where this is headed, so we'll discuss that. Then Jason Smith's going to join us. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. So, Cobb, I don't know what this says about me one way or the other, but we get the news today that Victor Wembanyama is expected to miss the rest of the season with blood clots in his shoulder. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the official terminology is that it's a deep vein thrombosis, and that's via the Mayo Clinic. So that's it's a blood clot. When a blood clot forms in one of the deep veins in the human body, it usually occurs in the legs, but it can occur in the upper body.
So obviously, first things first, like, we hope he's healthy. Like, that he's going to miss the remainder of the season. But, like, the most important thing is, like, okay, we hope that this isn't something that affects the rest of his career, but it very well may.
Like, that's it's a serious issue. I remember I was covering Tennessee when Trace.
Oh, yeah. Now Trace had a great career.
He has, but that was not.
No, I mean, weren't there thoughts like he wasn't going to, like, he might have to retire?
That was very much on the table at a time pre NIL, right?
Yeah.
Where he hadn't cashed in, at least not to his full earnings potential by any stretch.
Certainly not the market value that he would have gotten today.
Right. So it's a serious thing. That was in his lungs. So I'm not a doctor, Jeffrey. I don't know if you know that. Did you know that?
I've watched House.
I'm not a doctor. Okay. Well, I can. Yeah. He just plays one on TV.
Yeah.
So, but I would hope
Oh, and I watch Scrubs.
You watch Scrubs too? Yeah. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So you practically are a doctor. Correct. You should be breaking this
100%.
Down. But my amateur diagnosis and my hope for Victor Wembanyama is that because this is in his shoulder and not in his lungs, like was the case with Trey Smith, that it won't be as serious, right? Because anyway, I don't know, but it is serious.
And in fairness, Tim McMahon's reporting that the Spurs are optimistic that he'll be full go next year. But again,
right?
I'm still waiting for the team statement after a surgery or any type. You know, we had mediocre surgery. You know, it's always a successful surgery. Everything's good to go. Like, I'm waiting for the day where someone's like, oh, we'll see. I don't know.
We'll take our chances.
Yeah, life's short.
So, I mean, first things first, bummer for the Spurs, right? Because they traded for De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
And when you add De'Aaron Fox into that lineup, you're thinking, okay, well, maybe these guys get to the play-in. Like, maybe this year is a year where the Spurs make an early move, not like their big move, but, you know, this could be something where the Spurs are
The Grizzlies came out of the play-in and they lost in a gentleman's five to Utah. Remember they won game one? I think you covered that one, right?
No, I never covered a playoff game on the beat.
Okay. So they
but no, so the Jaws rookie year, I was on the beat until January.
Yeah.
And then that's when they were kind of turning it on, and Evan Barnes was covering that. But it obviously just dooms the Spurs' chances of that happening, but it also has a local impact as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're also like the Spurs are in a situation like your coach is recovering from a stroke and your best player has blood clots.
Yeah, it's a tough time for that franchise because you got to wonder, like, with this and with Popovich trading for De'Aaron Fox, like, do they just sort of flip the page? And I've always wondered, this is reckless speculation, Jeffrey. I don't know. This is just, again, throwing it out there. But that organization is one that incubated Taylor Jenkins and means a lot to him. I'm sure somebody out there, whenever Popovich hangs it up, is going to put Taylor Jenkins, rightfully or not, on the hot board. Like, he's going to be on that hot board that some writer puts up.
Yeah, I mean, I would strongly speculate that his agent would certainly put his name out there. Although it's always weird to me. I feel like in pro sports, when's the last time a sitting head coach was taken from another team?
Yeah, in the NBA, I don't feel like it's that common.
Like you see a lot
of retreads,
right?
Guys who get fired and land at other spots.
Like you've got Budenholzer in Phoenix. After Budenholzer was in Milwaukee, like Atlanta fired him and he goes to Milwaukee. And so you've got Budenholzer. You have guys that are kind of like on the sidelines that come out. But like, I can't remember the last time an NBA coach is the last NFL coach. Like, we have the Andy Reid situation where Andy Reid got fired from the Eagles, but they'd already worked out the deal with Kansas City. Like, I don't think he was technically a free agent for more than 20 minutes and went to Kansas City. But is the last time like we've had a coach taken Gruden?
Maybe. I feel like Terry Francona has done it before, right?
Well, Craig Counsell did it. Craig Counsell went from the Brewers to the Cubs.
But to your point, it is.
I don't feel like it happens in the NBA, though.
Well, it was so hard. I remember when the Grizzlies were in that coaching search following J.B. Bickerstaff's firing. And I had a college sports-minded editor at the time who knew nothing about the NBA, but was like thinking that NBA coaching searches drove the sort of traffic that college football coaching searches do. No, they do not. He had me devote a ton of resources to building out a big board. And
Are you familiar with NBA assistants? Because that's how the search is.
And I'm not. Like, I've been on the beat for 6 months, and even if I'd been on the beat for 6 years, I wouldn't have known which NBA assistant Zach Kleiman was targeting. The man literally had no track record of hiring head coaches. Would I have ever have thought to put Taylor Jenkins on there? No, never. I'm just saying, like, if it goes that direction in San Antonio, where, at some point in the near future, it's going to be the end for Pop. Like, I'm just saying, like, prepare yourself because Taylor will probably end up on one of those boards.
Yeah, I mean, I think now the other thing is the Spurs have, like, a lot of connections throughout the league. Like, I feel like half the coaching,
that's true.
I feel like Popovich is like Shanahan. Like, did you work for him at some point? Like, you look throughout the league, like half the coaches at some point, like, got Kyle Shanahan's coffee or got McVay's coffee. So,
hey, Becky Hammond's got a 75% winning percentage in the WNBA. So,
yeah,
just saying.
Yeah, we rigged the league for her to win. I love how that one just, we swept that one under. But this actually does have implications from the Grizzlies. And I think this is what is interesting. So DeMichael has tweeted it out. And honestly, it was my first thought when I saw the breaking news of in between shows. And Victor Wembanyama was like minus 2,000 to win Defensive Player of the Year. Like, it was done. Well, now, I don't know how many games the Spurs have remaining, but it's going to be more than 17.
He's played in 46, so there's no way he's getting to the threshold.
There's no way he's going to get to the 65-game threshold, which means it now opens up Defensive Player of the Year. And the reason why this matters is not we're talking about just getting hardware, but if Jaren Jackson Jr., who is now moving up, that's the other problem. It's like, I don't know, like, are we going to have to restart campaigns, whatnot? So, but Jaren was the next closest in the odds.
Now he's already at minus 110 to win DPOY. The only other contender, based on the betting apps that I'm looking at, is Evan Mobley at plus 130. Everyone else is 12 to 1 or worse to win.
And even like a guy like Anthony Davis that was like lobbying for it, he's going to be out for a month. I don't think he'll get to the 65 games.
Right.
And so,
yeah,
it now matters from this perspective. If Jaren were to win Defensive Player of the Year, the Grizzlies could offer him a max extension. And if he doesn't win Defensive Player of the Year, they could also offer him a max extension if he were to get any of the All-NBA teams.
Which, now there's one fewer player going to be taking up a spot on those teams.
Correct.
Too.
So he might end up getting both, and that's the reality. But the reason why that is important, because if that weren't the case, the Grizzlies can only offer an extension based on the last year of his contract, and because Jaren was coming off the injury, wanted the guaranteed money up front, his contract descends in value. Whatever offer the Grizzlies can put, I think it's like 10, I think they can offer 10% off the a 10% raise from the last year. But it's the type of contract that there's no way he's going to accept. And that doesn't mean that the Grizzlies aren't going to re-sign him, but that would mean that he would have to go into next season. However, if Jaren can win Defensive Player of the Year or one of these all-NBA teams, they can now offer the max, which Jaren obviously would accept. And so I think you're now in this weird situation the rest of the year where, you know, I didn't think it was unrealistic to think that the Grizzlies were going to be in a position to offer this deal. I think now, I mean, if it's minus 110, that's a slight favorite that the Grizzlies are going to be in that position, and you could get to the summer, and despite the fact that we had an executive tell Howard Beck, watch this space for the Grizzlies and Ja, the Grizzlies could have like the future wrapped up this summer.
And it sheds all the more light now on why they did what they did at the deadline, which was to move off of having to pay Marcus Smart's roughly $20 million salary next season, because there's a high likelihood that they'll need to be paying Jaren Jackson Jr. a deal. This is in DeMichael's story, citing ESPN. A deal that could be worth up to 5 years and $345 million. That would become the largest contract in NBA history in terms of total dollars. Jaren Jackson Jr., who we're talking about here.
For this year. Because I think this is the other thing. I actually kind of view, because when you would hear, it's like anything, whoever signs the next big deal, the number's staggering. But the NBA is still trying to kind of get through the COVID reserves where they knew, hey, we're getting the new TV deal, but we lost a bunch of revenue, so we're not going to keep jacking the cap up. I think this is big for the Grizzlies. If they can sign him this year, the cap is expected to jump next year. So if you can sign, now granted, it's all based on the contracts based on the cap, like it's a percentage of the cap. But I always believe this. You're always better off just going ahead, biting the bullet, and paying the big deal. Because the longer you wait, the more you're going to pay. It's either this. You're either going to pay more, or the guy's going to get hurt, and you've already, like, it's an asset that you're not all that interested in anyway. So you're better off always just paying.
And so it would be the largest deal in NBA history for the moment. And then as the new CBA goes into effect, there will be more and more players who sign.
So who else? I was trying to remember who else is eligible, because Luka obviously was going to be eligible, but they traded him, so he's not. Trae Young, I guess, is.
Yeah, no.
But Trae Young's not going to make any of the All NBA teams.
That's true. I mean, it could be a pretty limited group.
So Jaren could, and this is kind of, there is kind of a life lesson here of, I think Jaren's probably been underpaid for a while. Certainly this season he feels underpaid. The lesson is, you'll be underpaid at times, you'll probably be overpaid at times.
Yeah, and if you perform, it all comes out in the wash. And
right.
he's performing. Like that's the thing is, like, I know it's probably jarring for people to stomach the idea of making Jaren Jackson Jr. the highest paid player in NBA history, right? But again, it's like, you remember 10 years ago, the uproar over Mike Conley's deal, which at the time put him in the upper stratosphere of guys in the league when he hadn't even made an all-star team at that point. Like, Jaren's been the defensive player of the year. He's been on an all-star team, two of them now. And so to me, it's easier to stomach. And then you gotta realize, like, as the years go by and as the NBA continues to rake in billions upon billions from these TV deals, the Jaren deal will age well. And by the end of his supermax $345 million contract, we're going to be saying, wow, he's kind of underpaid, right? Because at that point, he'll still only be, what, 30 years old? And if he's able to continue producing and developing at the rate that he has been as of late, then it's all worth it. And plus, you think about this supermax thing. It's actually a tool or a mechanism to help small market franchises who otherwise might struggle to re-sign their guys in unrestricted free agency when all deals are equal. So this is a unique opportunity for the Grizzlies to re-sign, yes, at a premium, but to re-sign who is clearly the best player on the team for the team that is second place in the West. So, I mean, I get it. Like, it's
well, it
the
also,
numbers are going to be
it
tough
also,
to stomach, but it's...
It's also going to make it even more paramount, if indeed that is the case. Ja, Jaren, and Dez are effectively all going to be on max deals, and it really makes, hey man, you got to make the most of guys that are on cheap deals. Like, Jalen Wells could be under control for the next three seasons, right? I think you get rookie control for up to four seasons. Vince Williams is going to be on a good deal, like. Edie's going to be on a rookie deal. Like, you have, like, you're now going to be in the spot that a lot of the other big franchises, something that you haven't really dealt with, which is, hey, we've got all this money tied up. Basically, got like 70 to 75% of our money tied up into three players. How are we going to make it work? And I think that's where it starts to get interesting throughout this next 28 games, because I think kind of establishing how this pecking order is going to go, like, that's to me where my thoughts go in the next 28 games.
Yeah, so your days probably of having the middle of the road salary vets on the roster are kind of dwindling, because you're not really going to be able to. I mean, the mid level exception is going to provide you a chance to go over the cap, right, on some of those types of guys. So you
was
can get
Keith
in free
Parrish
agency.
That wrote the Grizzlies with after the Marcus Smart deal, the Grizzlies will now have enough money to not use the mid level exception again.
Right. So, yeah, but your days of having a Luke Kennard type of salary, a Marcus Smart type of salary, go back to a Kyle Anderson, you know, like those types of guys. Like, it's going to be mostly the big three and then the budget aisle shopping. And thank goodness the Grizzlies are masters of shopping on the budget aisle.
Yeah, they've been very good at bargain hunting. They know their way around a bargain hunt. Okay, I wanted to pick your brain on this. So, we got the, I don't know, I kind of feel bad for Howard Beck throughout all this, because if you listen to the interview, he's doing a live podcast for The Ringer, and they're like egging him on, hey, what have you heard? What have you heard? What have you heard? What have you heard? And he throws out the nugget, and he clearly stresses, this is what something told me, and it just kind of speaks to the culture of news that we have today, which is aggregator picks it up, and then that becomes the story.
Well, it does. But yeah, anyway, continue. I got thoughts, but continue.
So, A, instead of like what I feel like most people actually kind of did is, all right, this is one guy. Like, I also think this is true. I think the Luka trade broke some people in the NBA's brains, because I view it this way, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, and I'll be happy to say hand up. I view the Luka trade as an outlier. I think there's one team in the entire NBA that would do what they did. I do not think there's going to be some pattern and some trend that's now going to develop of teams that are going to give up on a young star because they don't want to pay him a max. I think the Mavs did it. I think Nico decided, I don't want this guy around, and they made it happen. I think what happened is everyone's like, well, if Luka can get traded everyone can get traded. And it's like, okay, yes, in that sense. But I also don't think that that's normal behavior. And I also think this is true. I think the reaction that we saw from Dallas and from its fan base, I think that's going to make GMs even more gun-shy, even if they had the, what if I did this? I think it's going to make them realize, like, I might have to think twice about that.
John Morant sells tickets, like, at the end of the day.
We've had great teams and great players. We've never had anything like this.
But I thought it was interesting that Zach Kleiman responded to this. So shout out to Drew for getting Kleiman on the record about this. Because a lot of times this NBA Central rumor mill, bottom of the barrel, just grunge stuff that comes up on podcasts that gets aggregated, it's not worth responding to. But I actually kind of think this one was, because we know Ja and the fact that he lives online. He sees what happens on Twitter, whether he's got an active profile or not. And given some of the fragility,
even if Ja Morant's not active, I find it hard to believe Ja doesn't have burners.
For sure. So the fact that Kleiman addressed this, I thought was smart. Don't let it fester. Don't let anybody wonder whether this is legitimate or not. Just go ahead and address it head on. And he did that. And I think his response was pretty forceful. And it pretty much put the issue to rest. I think the Grizzlies would be crazy to trade Ja Morant, right? But, I mean, of course, like, I get where this whole thing originated. It's just basically like, who's going to be the next Luka? And sure, why not? Like, Ja's had off-the-court issues. He could be the next Luka. Okay. But no, every circumstance is different. And the Grizzlies have been clear for a long, long time that he's a huge part of what they're doing.
Yeah, and also it's like, I'd like to know, does that executive know that Ja fired his agent and hired Mike Miller?
I didn't know that.
Is hiring Mike Miller a move that you make when you're trying to get out of town?
No, so Mike has Ja and Jared now.
And Paolo, right?
Nice.
I think he's got some of the... But also, it's like, that's not the equivalent... Like, I was pointing this out. Dan Mullen, once upon a time, I think he was with Trace Armstrong. He was with whoever Urban was with. And he, I think, probably a couple of times would have liked to have gotten out of Mississippi State. Didn't do it. You know what he did do? He eventually hired Jimmy Sexton. He then was the Florida coach. Kalen DeBoer fires his agent, hires Jimmy Sexton. 3 months later, he's the coach at Alabama. This is not the type of move that you do if you're trying to signal, I want out. If you were doing that, you go to Clutch.
Yeah.
And so, like, I would be curious to know if the guy that dropped this, because what I think happened is, like, you get an exec, because also kind of baked into the quote, if you will, or the quotation, is if the Grizzlies flame out. And there's kind of the implication of, like, I don't believe in the Grizzlies. I think they're going to flame out. Watch them this summer. Well, okay, let's play that out. What makes you think the Grizzlies just aren't going to run it back again next year and try to get better? Like,
I think that's what they signaled at the trade deadline, is that they that's what their plan is. And it's, as Kleiman noted, it's fantasy. Other executives would love for Ja Morant to be available. You don't think there's teams out there that wouldn't salivate over the opportunity to trade some draft picks or whatever to try and get Ja Morant on their team to make themselves better and go for an NBA title? Of course there is. So, to read Kleiman's statement, it's, I can't blame other, quote, executives for fantasizing about us trading Ja, but it's just that, fantasy. We are not trading Ja. And then I love this, man. This is crazy. This is like rile up the fan base sort of stuff coming from the GM. He says, continue to underestimate Ja, this team, and this city, and we will let our performance on the floor speak for itself. And then he drops the hammer to close it out. I'm not going to give this nonsense further oxygen and look forward to getting back to basketball. Like, holy smokes, man. It's not just a sources told the Daily Memphian that the Grizzlies aren't going to be interested in this. It is like a forceful on-the-record denial with like a few different punchlines coming straight from the GM.
And I think, like, that's the other question. Why the need for this? Because to me, this is kind of like killing a fly with a blowtorch.
Right.
Like, and I think it seems obvious because I agree with you. Like, hey, Ja's got a tendency to be a little moody. Like, we want to make this very clear. This is not what's happening. Now, like, you could talk with Ja personally, but it's like, it. I think it sends the right message. I think also the other thing is it kind of kills anything that the story can be for the next 28 games.
Yeah. Now, I will say they need to beef up security out in the Eads, apparently.
So that was the other story that we learned, that not just Joe Burrow, not just Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyler Sang. I always thought it was Sangoon, but no.
Bobby Portis was in it.
Bobby Portis, he had a day. We now find out that Ja was also a victim of the Chilean. Maybe I can't wait. We need like a dark comedy series. Like, I don't want a documentary. I want a dark comedy series about these idiots. Like, they're like taking pictures in the place. Like, it's like if you were having a textbook of how not to be a criminal, basically you'd show this. And so, like, I do need the documentary series on that. But we find out that Ja on December 19th was also part of that and had $1 million stolen from him.
Yeah, right. So from the AP and Daily Memphian article, quote, some of the suspects took selfies with the stolen loot,
yep,
which helped authorities crack the case.
Can't believe, how'd they figure this one out?
Yeah, just turned over the cell phone and there was the evidence. So, but have you ever been out to Eads, man? I get why it was a good target. Like, I don't know exactly where Ja lives out there, but I mean, there's hardly any street lights. There's no sidewalks. There's a lot of woods.
There's a lot of land.
Yeah, all these houses are on an acre, 2 acres or more. So, you know, there's just not that much traffic. It's dark. So I get why they targeted him. I mean, his house is probably perfect for it.
Well, I also wonder, I think Dez lives like in the neighborhood.
Yeah. It was funny. I was searching John Morant news today just online to try to get more information on this story.
You pulled a job?
Yeah.
Searching for John Morant news.
Well, when I search myself, I just get the New Mexico State running backs coach. So I got to search other people. One of the other articles that came up was like about Ja Morant's collection of luxury vehicles. And I was like, well, that's kind of perfect, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, clearly this guy has accumulated some fun toys with his earnings. And why the heck not when you got that much money? But yeah, it's crazy, man.
Does the average human being realize how much, like, $250 million is a ton of money? $250 million in Memphis is all the money.
I know. And then you got the Nike money. The man allegedly stole more than $2 million in watches, jewelry, cash, and other valuables, including a safe that they later cracked. So what did they do? They threw the safe in the back of an SUV and then went and beat it with a sledgehammer? Like,
I mean,
that's crazy, man.
Isn't this how the Pam and Tommy Lee video got found?
Oh gosh! Now I'm worried.
Who was
in that safe?
Yeah, that's true. Like, now I do think it helps that this case has been cracked. I do think there's going to be some victim protection now. But like, I've always thought about that. Like, you get $1 million stolen from you by criminals, I'm presuming it's been stolen, and a lot of it's been spent. Like, do you get your money back?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, this happened in late December. The criminals were not apprehended until more recently.
Like,
so they had
a
good time. Yeah, they had a couple weeks
imagine it's the Dumb and Dumber scene. Like, they just spent all the money. Those are IOUs.
I mean, why would you steal it? You don't go steal it and then put it in your Robinhood account, do you?
Right.
Right? Like, I mean,
yeah, maybe that'd be great. Maybe we'll find out they're into crypto.
Yeah, or they're the reason behind the NVIDIA surge, you know?
Yeah, there we go.
But no, it's crazy, right? Because this happened the night of a 51-point win, that like arguably their best win of the season over Golden State. This was happening to Ja.
They were targeting players that had high-profile games.
So they knew that all the friends and family who might be at the house would be at the game that night, you know, that sort of thing, right?
Yep.
So, and then you go and look at the game log. No coincidence, of course. Two nights later, they're at Atlanta. He's inactive for that game because he's having to deal with all this, man. Like, that stinks. Like, I don't, you know, people have a hard time sympathizing for the wealthy, but like, this stinks. You got your house broken into. You had somebody walked into your home and stole your property. Like, that's horrible.
We have a tough time sympathizing for the wealthy unless they play for our team. Then we have a great amount of sympathy. Isn't that too bad? Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Eric Aslan's going to join the program. Grizzlies tonight. You can hear it on 92.9 FM ESPN. We'll talk about it with Eric next right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
The winners just keep on coming in the Zen Sports VIP Players Club Sweepstakes. Another Tennessee exclusive grand prize winner has just been picked for the January sweepstakes, and now Zen Sports is keeping up the momentum by introducing its new VIP Players Courtside Club sweepstakes for February. This month, one grand prize winner will win two VIP tickets to the Men's Basketball Conference Championship game in Nashville and a $10,000 bonus bet on any tournament game or an alternative $10,000 cash prize. You'll earn entries on every bet you place in February and every dollar you wager. Plus, you'll earn 10 times the entries on all parlay bets. You don't want to miss out on this. And if you're not the grand prize winner, no sweat. You also have a shot to win one of 10 small prizes, which grant you two tickets to any men's regional basketball tournament game and a $1,000 bonus bet on the tournament or a $250 cash prize. That's not all. All new customers who sign up with code JEFFTN, JEFFTN, you will receive 500 bonus entries. So head on over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules, and you'll also earn a $100 no danger first wager on your first bet. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee. $5 minimum wager to qualify for entry. Terms and conditions apply. Full contest rules. Zensports.com/sweepstakes. No danger. First wager limited to plus 500 odds. Okay. We are working on getting Eric on the line. Eric left his phone, I think, in the bus. So we're trying to call his hotel. I might just tell him to call in. 445. This is bad. Sorry.
Jeffrey, did you see the injury report?
Oh, yeah, but nobody on it?
Well, Johnny Davis, not with the team. I mean, shocker there, right? That'd be the upside of the century if he showed up in a Grizzlies uniform. But then, yeah, the other guys who aren't playing are the two-way guys. It's like, wow, this is beautiful. This is so such a rare sight to behold.
It is a sight to behold, and I think that's kind of the larger question. So right now, half-game lead up on Denver for second. Denver, I believe, has 27 remaining games. The Grizzlies have 28 remaining games. What do you think the number is to hold on?
Oh, well, let's see. So you got them at how many? 27 left?
Correct. We do actually have Eric. He has called in. Okay, Eric. Sorry. We've been running around trying to.
You're good.
Trying to figure
you're
it
good.
Out.
It's
for
not
you.
Your fault. It's my fault.
When's the last time you used a hotel phone?
Today.
Okay, because you left your phone down there.
Yeah, so, I mean, long story short, I was a little wiped out on day of the flight from an infection from diverticulitis, so it kind of zaps your energy. Flight was delayed, kind of fell asleep in the front seat, just saw people getting ready to go to the plane, just got up and forgot to grab it out of the center console. Realized it as we landed in Indianapolis, so went and bought an iPad, and it turns out two-factor authentication is impossible without the phone. So the good people at Wilson Air and Audi Roadside Assistance unlocked the car, grabbed the phone, gave me the code. So all is better now.
Well, at least you haven't lost.
If anybody out there is trying to text me, I didn't ignore you. I just didn't have my phone.
Well, it's also glad to know that you didn't get robbed.
No robbery. No robbed. No, just lack of a better way to put it. This is something I've dealt with health-wise for going on 15 years now, and it's brutal. If anybody knows anybody that's had it, they know.
My
what
dad.
It's like.
My dad had it, and we thought we were gonna have to bring in the priest for the last rites.
Yeah, it really just knocks you out. Like, basically, you have zero energy because your body is fighting the infection the entire time. I didn't see a minute of the flight. Everybody here went to St. Elmo's for their famous shrimp cocktail and steak dinner, and I sat in my room and had a very expensive bowl of chicken noodle soup and was in bed by 8:30.
All right, let's talk about these last 28 games.
Yes.
Do you think there's a number that the Grizz, like, because obviously they have a half game lead over Denver. I believe they have 28. Denver has 27. Is there a number in your mind that you're like, all right, if they can get to this number, I think they can hold on?
No, because I haven't really dissected Denver's schedule as much. So off the top of my head, no. I think if you come.
So
out of this-
Roser tweeted this out yesterday because I hadn't done it. I'm trusting Roser on this. The Grizzlies have the third toughest remaining schedule, and the Nuggets have the fourth toughest remaining schedule. So they're basically kind of
even.
Yeah.
The problem with me lies in that last three games of the season.
Yeah.
You got a Thursday night game against Minnesota. It starts at 8:30. You finish the game. You go get on a plane. You fly to Denver. You have a very long bus ride into the hotel. I don't think Denver is playing that Thursday night, so a distinct advantage for the Nuggets there. You play Denver Friday night, you spend the night, you come back Saturday, and play Dallas Sunday afternoon. Will Dallas be playing for anything at that point? Who knows? If the Grizzlies are not playing for anything at that point, okay, no big deal. But that Denver game may come down to what happens, because whoever wins that wins the season series. So that loss way back when the Nuggets didn't have Jokic and it was the Emirates NBA Cup game, could come back to haunt the Grizzlies, there's no doubt. But you know, you control your own fate, really, even with only a half-game lead. This six-game start for the Grizzlies is tough, although it just took a step in the more winnable direction with the game six with Victor Wembanyama being shut down.
Yeah.
So I think tonight's a good test. This team's playing much better basketball than the time you saw them. Getting Nembhard back was huge. Tomorrow night, you'll see what you get out of Orlando. They play tonight. Their numbers aren't gaudy, but they've been missing Ben Carroll and Wagner for a lot of the season. And then you get a day off, and you face the best team in the East in Cleveland and come back home and face the Suns team that's going to want a piece of the Grizzlies after two losses on their home court. So if they were to go 4-2 in this six-game stretch, that's a good start. If
sign
you win
me
it
up.
Two out of every three,
if you,
that's
if you
a great
give me that, I'll take it right now. I'll sign in blood.
Yeah, if you go 3-3, all right. If you go 2-4, you're going, what's going to happen now? Because all the questions always with this team this year have been about, can you beat the upper echelon team? And there's no discounting the record. They're 0-2 against the Thunder. They're 0-2 against the Clippers. They're 1-3 against the Rockets, and they're 1-1 against the Nuggets. Not to mention the Lakers and Warriors, who they've lost to on their home court, the Warriors twice. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in this early start. Can this rest and break get everybody back and healthy? And how many games out of the remaining 28 do you have your core group for at full strength? If you could get them for, I think, 22 or 23 out of that 28, you got a good chance of staying at least in the top three, possibly top two. If you sustain an injury or anything like that happens, you know, all bets are off. The team that I talked with Gabe about this yesterday, and he brought this up, is Minnesota, that has played a really difficult schedule up till now. They have a very light schedule down the stretch, and seeing what they can do when they have every piece in place, they could make a run. What will happen with the Clippers? Will they be healthy? What will happen with the Lakers? They open up the second half with a loss last night to Charlotte. Inexplicable. How do you not score 100 points against the Hornets coming out of the break? But they didn't. That's the NBA. So it's going to be a morning ritual, I think, to start checking standings and box scores and see who did what. And right now, if you're a Grizzlies fan, you're pulling for everybody but the top six in the West. Other than, you know, you're pulling for everybody in but the Grizzlies in the top six to lose every night. Even the Thunder, even though they pretty much have locked on the one seed. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. So this is the cleanest injury report I've seen all season.
Right? Is this the first time?
I mean, we might need to add you to it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It feels like a clean slate. It's a clean slate coming out of the break with knock on wood, you know, a fresh bill of health.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have that. It creates some questions amongst fans, like what happened. You know, I had someone ask me the other day, what happened to Jay Huff? Everybody got healthy. It's not that Jay can't play. It's that everybody's healthy. Santi's healthy. Brandon's healthy. Jaren's healthy. You get Ja back. You get Dez back. You get Jalen Wells back. Zach Edey, and then you start going into Scottie Pippen and the rest of it. All of a sudden, you're looking at, wow, we've gone 12 deep, and we haven't even talked about Jay Huff, John Conchar, guys that helped you win basketball games. Gigi Jackson's back. Vince Williams is back. And that's the challenge facing the coaching staff, keeping guys in rhythm, fresh, and, you know, understanding that this is where we are as a team. And it's nothing personal, but this is the pecking order of the rotation. And we need everybody on board, because there are going to be nights where guys need a rest. You know, you're about to play 3 and 4 nights. You're going to come home and have a long homestand. That has a lot of breaks in between, other than the back-to-back with New York and San Antonio. But you're at home. And I think back-to-backs take on a different tone when you're at home, because you can get in your car, you can get home, you can get back to the arena the next day. It's not flying, it's not being in an airplane, it's not sleeping in a hotel, getting into a comfort zone. It's a different scenario. So, the injury report being a clean slate is finally a very nice thing to see for the Grizzlies, because we all know it hasn't been that way for a very long time.
Do you think, are we going to see Vince off a minutes restriction now?
That's a great question. I think I would have to talk to Coach about that, you know, and the training staff. But I wouldn't be surprised if the minutes restriction kind of stayed until, you know, early March, until that homestand, and see where he's at. Again, you know, you've had a young guy step in and fill the role really, really well. I mean, Jalen Wells made the Rising Stars Challenge because he's played terrific basketball. Not because, you know, he looked good in the Rising Stars jersey. He's been fantastic. He's shooting the ball with confidence. He never gets caught up in the moment. He's got a maturity about him that you don't see with a lot of 21-year-old guys. Always willing to take on the other team's best player when he's defending. Willing to take shots if he's open. And so it's nice to have that problem when you have now Gigi Jackson, Luke Kennard, Jalen Wells, Vince Williams, and Desmond Bane running five guys in those two, you know, wing spots, the two and the three spot. And, you know, it's a nice problem to have, but it's also one that you're like, how do I get a guy into the understanding of this offense and what it does if he's not playing? So that's going to be the balance. Gigi Jackson, we've seen get better over the last handful of games because he's getting a more hands-on understanding of the offense. I think you'll see that with Vince, and then it'll be interesting to see how the minutes are distributed.
So coming up, we're going to have a battle between who are now the two betting favorites to win Defensive Player of the Year when the Grizzlies play at Cleveland, because Evan Mobley is obviously in that discussion. And now in light of what's happened with Wimby, that unfortunate development, I mean, Jaren's the betting favorite to win DPOY, but I think that would be surprising maybe to some casual fans who are going to fixate on the block numbers. The block numbers are down from 3 blocks per game when he won it a couple years ago to about 1.6 right now. My interpretation of that, though, is you got Zach Edey on the floor as your rim protector now, so the block stats maybe aren't going to be there. Like, would you agree with that interpretation? And like, well, I mean, what's your assessment of kind of who Jaren is as a defender at this point?
Well, I think he's a victim of his own success, Cobb. I mean, yes, in a way, you're correct. However, remember that you had Steven Adams protecting Remy block 3 shots a game. He was able to hunt and, you know, find guys that didn't think he could recover. Everybody knows he can recover now. And so, to me, watching it on a night-in, night-out basis, the way he alters guys' thinking is as valuable as a block shot. You see a guy get a step in the lane and think, all right, I've got my guy, I'm going to score, and then, oh, well, here comes Jaren. Nope, I'm getting rid of this ball. I'm going to try to make an extra pass. Whether that leads to a basket or not, you know, isn't the point. It's that he's changing what is happening on the court as a defender. So that's a big thing to me. Casual fans, I had a guy in Universal Studios flat out tell me, yeah, Jaren should have been Defensive Player of the Year last year too. And I'm like, eh, I don't know that I'd go that far. Not because he wasn't good, but because the team was what it was. This year, I think he's having a much better year. Obviously, the block and steals numbers from a couple of years ago were just off the charts. Wemby getting hurt, you know, takes that award basically away from him, and that's a shame, because if you block 4 shots a game, there's it's a hands down just start engraving the trophy, because no one's done it since Dikembe Mutombo. Mobley's really good. I think maybe there'll be people that give the edge to Cleveland because of their record, but if you really look what Jaren means to this defense and the way he's played this year, that's a really, really tough selection to make, and I don't envy the guys that have to pick one over the other.
Do you like the 65-game threshold?
Yes and no. I think there should be some understanding with it. If a guy gets hurt and he's close to that threshold, but he's played at the time he's injured, you know, 85 to 90% of his team's games, then that's the way it is. If the guy was the best defensive player for the 50 games or out of 60 that his team played, or 50 out of 55 that his team played, then it should be taken into consideration. I think setting a number like that is tough. But it does speak to the issue that this league is addressing. Guys not playing for rest, for this, for that. And bonuses being, you know, handed out based on, you know, awards, all league teams, contracts being bumped up by those things. If you don't get it, you know, you're not gonna get that extra money. Now, does it sit on the back of these guys' minds? No, most of them are gamers, the most competitive humans on the planet, and they want to be out there. But there is a science to what is being discovered, and I think it's kind of tough because you're trying to have it both ways. I hate saying have your cake and eat it too, because I agree with our old colleague Gary Parrish. What's the point of having cake if you're not going to eat it? Uh-huh. I'm not going to look at it all day. If I'm going to have it, I'm going to eat it. So I don't understand the analogy there, but if you want both sides of it, it's really tough to say, hey, go out and play even if you're a little dinged up so you can be eligible for these awards. If you turn an ankle and you miss 10 games, you can only miss 7 the rest of the year, and maybe that ankle's sore a couple of times, and then you're legitimately sick. I think it's unfortunate. I think it's unfortunate when you go to that number. 17 games is a lot to miss if you're healthy, but when guys legitimately have ankle tweaks, knee sprains, flu virus goes around, you miss 3 or 4 games, that's a chunk. You know, that's a quarter of the games you can miss, and I think there should be some recognition of guys who are legitimately injured. If you're shutting a guy down just to shut them down because of concern, then it should be taken into account. I think you can provide the league with medical records and there can be things discussed. The problem is once you give an exemption for one guy, you've got to give it for everybody. So I think voters are smart enough to know what's what and look at the games played and say, he's not worthy of my vote because he only played 47 games, and a lot of these that he sat out were rest, injury load management. While another guy played 75 games, maybe he's not scoring quite the same, but his impact on his team winning was more valuable than this guy who didn't play in these games. I think you're discrediting the intelligence of the voters, who, by the way, the league hand-selected. It used to be, you know, every team got three votes, and the team picked who they wanted to vote for them. They did away with that. The league took it in-house. Now you've picked voters, and now you're telling them, we don't really trust you to make that discretion or make that judgment, so we're going to take it out of your hands. And, you know, whether that's their intent or not, that's the way it kind of came across to me. It's like, it's always going to be somewhat of a popularity contest. But, you know, as I've said, the MVP.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.